Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end.
Hallelujah.
reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, our election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So far we read God's holy word. Let's come before him in prayer, asking him to teach us and lead us from these words, also that this church might be an example to us that we need to have churches as this one was, especially making known the word of God in the whole area. As we read in the 8th verse, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. That's the need today of a church, to be a salt and a light, a witness. Let's come to the Lord in prayer, giving thanks and asking for his leading and these words that we might learn from them. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life, he who is the door into thy presence of love and reconciliation. We pray in his name, thou wilt now give us the Holy Spirit to teach us from these words, that we might have them as they had them here, in joy and in power with the Holy Spirit. And we need that Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. First of all, each of us individually needing to be born again, have our eyes open so we see the kingdom of God, thy kingdom, and then that we might be part of the body of Christ, by the work of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. We pray that thou, Father, will send the Spirit to show us the things especially of Christ, as these last words that we read, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We pray, Father, in his name, that we might also know the need of that and have the blessing of peace with thee, grace from thee, that we will ourselves have a right relationship with they and with each other in the church, in the home, and then be a salt and a light to others round about us, that that may take place again in our time, that the church will be a salt to the rest of the nation. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on all those who need thee in special ways. We pray for those in sickness. We pray for those injured, the thousands injured with the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, also with war, especially so many with the earthquake, not only in injury, but in sorrow, having lost so many loved ones. We pray for them. We pray especially that they might know they have here no abiding city, but they must look for a city of whom thou art the builder and the maker, that all of us must think in that way, as Abraham did and others with him. They are given there for an example for us. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on our nation, that we may yet come to repentance with the terribleness of our sin, denying thee as Creator, promoting the lie of evolution in so many places, in so many schools and universities, almost everywhere. We pray, Father, that it might be recognized, the lie that it is, and also the terribleness of the sin of murdering the unborn, a sin which we fear will bring judgment on our nation. We know not when we are murdering the innocent. Judah was punished for it, and I fear we will also receive thy measure of thy wrath and thy punishment. We pray there might be a time of humbling. Abortion might be lessened if it could be thy will. A time of repentance. We know that all things are possible with thee, and we ask it in Christ's name that it might be done. We pray for our leaders that thou will put thy fear in their hearts and us as a people as well. We seem to have no fear of thee in the awful ways, the murder of the unborn, and the awful ways of changing the sex from male to female and from female to male, the awfulness of the transgender way. We pray that we might see that it is a terrible thing. Our government is promoting it. We pray that thou restrain them and again make the church a salt and a light, that it will speak up. And also the Congress will see the awfulness of the transgender and pass laws forbidding it, even as some of the states have already done. And we pray that that may be done much more. We pray, Father, for other needs of the persecuted ones, the hungry ones, all the suffering that there is throughout the world. We pray for them and give thanks that we are so blessed in material blessings. And we pray especially that we may know the need of and have the need fulfilled of the spiritual blessings in Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. We have looked at Ephesus, and we have looked at Colossae, and now looking at Thessalonians, that we might see what the church is and why and what it is called to do. This church especially made known the gospel. But first of all, we see the introduction, much the same as with the other churches. When Paul writes to them, tells them they are in the Lord Jesus with the Father, and that grace be unto them and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's much the same salutation as the other churches. They would be given grace and peace. And that is what makes up the church, the grace of God and the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The opposite is the wrath to come, as we saw in the last part of the chapter, delivered us from the wrath to come. Either we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by faith, or we are still under the wrath of God, every one. We read that in the church at Ephesus. They were children of wrath, even as others. We know it is here that they were delivered from that. They were also children of wrath before this. All of us are at our beginning. We didn't know it. We didn't know that we deserve the wrath of God. He mentions different sins to the churches, and he says, for these things' sake cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Another way we read of it is the wages of sin is death. We receive death because God gives us that measure of what we deserve for our sin. Here they had deliverance from it. Paul could say, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. They had been children of wrath, they had been delivered, but now they were in the way of faith. In verse 3 we read, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. But faith does not come alone. It's accompanied with love and patience and all the fruits of the Spirit. Some of them are mentioned here. The labor of love is the first thing mentioned. When we read of the fruit of the Spirit, patience is not mentioned in Galatians, but long-suffering is, and that is the same as patience. Now they were made to have that. Before that, we have no love. Before that, we have no patience. We are impatient with others, long-suffering toward ourselves, but not toward others. And here they had these fruits of the Spirit, work of faith and labor of love and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sum and substance of it. He is the beginning of it. As he said, recorded in John chapter 15, we must abide in him and he must abide in us. Without him, we can do nothing. We cannot have this labor of love. We cannot have and do not have patience. We must have the mind of Christ to have a right beginning. And we must have the new birth by the Spirit, taking the things of Christ and giving them to us, and giving us the righteousness of Christ that he paid for on the cross, going to that cross, seeing there his death and his shed blood in payment for our sin. As he said, we must partake of him. We must eat of his body, drink of his blood, to have life in us. Our life comes from the raising of Christ from the dead, as well as his dying, as we read in the last verse here of chapter 1. Then going on to the way that all of this is done in the sight of God and our Father. Do we know how little the fear of God there is? We must know that we are always in the sight of God, and we should always think, what is God's will for us? We pray the Lord's Prayer. Part of it is, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is in the sight of God, and we should do it not only in his sight, but we should do it for his glory. We have been placed here for the glory of God, and as Paul can write to the church at Rome, we come short of that glory. We do not give him glory as creator or lawgiver, and not as redeemer either, when we do not think rightly of the way of Christ. As Isaiah could write, not only what Christ did for us, but our attitude toward Christ in the natural way. He is despised and rejected of men. That must be made to change, and it does change by the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Only that. We read that here, knowing, beloved brother, our election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, and ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. We could connect the fourth verse with the fifth verse, or we could make the fifth verse more in connection with the sixth verse, but they are really together with all three. Reading again the fourth verse, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. We talked about that somewhat another week ago, our election of God. God chooses us. We do not choose God. We would never choose God if left to ourselves. We have enmity toward him. We despise and reject his Son, and we break the law. God has to change us, and only then the result of election is there. Because of election, we read our gospel came not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost. The word of God is supposed to be preached to every creature. Christ called us to do that, preach the gospel to every creature, and to bring the message of repentance and remission of sins in his name to the whole world, to all nations. But it does not come in the same way to all nations and to all people. This church was singled out. It was known to be a church because the gospel came unto them not in word only, but in power with the Holy Spirit. And that makes the difference. When that word comes in power, then we are subject to it, and we are made to submit to the word that calls us to repent toward God, humble ourselves before him, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Only when that Spirit is there with it do we give heed to it. That's why Paul could say of them again in the fourth verse, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The proof was there that they were elect because the word came, and not in word only, in power with the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. It's true that Paul could also say he brought the whole message. He shunned not to declare the whole counsel of God. But unless it was accompanied with the Spirit, it would not be received in the way that it was here. And that's why Paul could say, knowing, beloved, your election of God. knowing you were chosen of God to hear the word in power and to hear it in much assurance. Following that, in the 6th verse, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. When Paul came to them, they were in affliction. We read that Paul came there and he spoke to them 3 different Sabbath days of the scriptures. We can read of that in Acts chapter 17. There Paul opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief woman, not a few. That's what happened at the beginning when the church was established in Thessalonica. And then we read the affliction that came in verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. That's probably the affliction that Paul was talking about, that the whole city was set in uproar. They were a persecuted lot, even to the extent they soon sent Paul and Silas away to another place. He went to Berea, where they were more noble than the Jews at Thessalonica. He could refer to that, having received the word, and that affliction that's described there in Acts chapter 17. But they rose above it. And so we read in verse 7, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were overcomers. They were persecuted. They set the city in uproar against them, but they were examples to others. They made the word of God known in the whole area. We may believe that they made the whole word known as well, because the last part of verse 8 states that Paul says, we need not to speak anything. They were an example, and that's what we should see, what a church should be today. God said by the pen of Isaiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their sin, and Israel their transgression. That's what the church should be. We should be a salt and a light. We should be calling the nation to repentance because they're not acknowledging God as our Creator. They're promoting the lie and the foolishness of evolution. Very few of the schools teach the true way of creation. The church needs to make it known. The church needs to call the rest of the nation to repentance. If we don't acknowledge God as Creator and give Him glory, we read in Romans chapter 1 that our foolish hearts are darkened, and that's where we are. It's not only a sin against God, it's a hindrance to ourself. It puts ourself in the dark. Today, so many believing the lie of evolution, teaching it, as I said, almost in all the schools. All my grandchildren were taught it, except one, and that one was thankful that they gave her warning against the theory of evolution. That was a right thing. We need to make it known from the church to the rest of the nation. We need to call the nation to repentance and back to God as our Creator. He is the Creator of the world. We saw that last week from Colossians, where Christ was described that way. Colossians chapter 1, we read verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's the truth. The Lord Jesus is the one who created all things in heaven and earth, what we see and what we don't see. And we need to know that He is that one that is the Creator as well as the Savior. We must not forget that. That must be made known as part of the Word of God that needs to be preached. The gospel needs to be preached, the call to repentance. But first of all, we must know God as our Creator to have a right beginning. And if we do not acknowledge Him as Creator, then we have another God. We do not have the God of His Word, the Bible. We see here these people were examples to us and to others, and we need to follow them. And that's what should be taking place today in our counties, in our state, in our country. The church should be a salt and a light and a witness. And I'm afraid that we have compromised. A big part of the professing church acknowledges the theory of evolution, even in what are called Christian schools. The church should see that, and the church should call the schools to repentance, but they're not doing it, and the parents aren't doing it either. So we could say that when we follow the theory of evolution, we're setting up, as it were, an idol. We need, again, to turn to God from those idols and from the way of what we want it to be. We probably don't want God as our lawgiver. Maybe one of the reasons why we deny Him as Creator. But here, they brought the message. We need to follow them as an example. All that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, and in places evidently beyond that, the Word of God was spread abroad. What a wonderful thing that would be if that was done. The Lord Jesus tells us to pray for laborers to go into all the fields that are white of the harvest, where the laborers are few. But we should be doing it ourselves as well. They should be coming out of the church to be evangelists, to be teachers, to be those that make the Word of God known, every word, every part of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We should begin there. And we should bring the whole message referred to here also in the way of the gospel in the last two verses. They themselves show what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We are coveting so many different things. That is idolatry. We need to turn to God from these idols, from the things that we covet after. Then we need to do like they do here in the last verse, to wait for His Son from heaven. They are ready for that. They're in expectancy and hope that He's coming again. Are we ready? How will we be when He comes? Here they are waiting for Him. Why? Because they made Him known, and they believed on Him, believed on the one that was raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Have you known that wrath on your sin? And have you known Christ as the deliverer, the one that paid the price on the cross, dying and shedding His blood? We must receive Him to escape the wrath to come.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.